I want to talk about today about experience the resurrection. Experience the resurrection. I want you and I to experience the resurrection of Jesus Christ. John chapter 20. And I'll be reading, starting at verse 11. John chapter 20 and verse 11. It says, "But Mary stood without the sepulcher weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulcher, and seeing two angels in white sitting, the one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be a gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou have borne him hence, tell me whence thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord, and he had spoken these things unto her." And if you can turn a page, if you're looking in the Bible, if you can turn a page, just a couple pages of Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Just forward a couple pages there. It says, "To whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God." Talk about experiencing the resurrection today. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. It's a perfect book. We thank you. It has all the answers to life, Father. And Lord, we have great needs, Lord. And I pray today that as we look into your word, I pray that, Father, not just I would get up here and say some words, but I pray that your spirit would speak to every heart individually. Pray the word of God would go forth clearly. I pray you'd speak to our hearts powerfully. And I pray today, Lord, as you control everything that's done, that your spirit, Lord, would be in such control that we would know how to experience the resurrection and be transformed and be resurrected in our lives, Father. Help us not to live a normal, run-of-the-mill, earthly, fleshly life, Lord, but help us to know the power of the resurrection. We thank you for your word and how it teaches us, Lord, about this. And I pray today we would just be spoken to from heaven. Thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's... In this story, it says Jesus showed himself alive after his passion. People call the passion, like the movie, The Passion, they call it the death of Jesus, but it says he showed himself alive. When it says after his passion, it's people misunderstanding the language there. It doesn't mean he showed himself alive after the passion of dying. He didn't like dying. He says, you know, be thy will, take now this cup from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. It wasn't fun to die on the cross. It wasn't his passion. I want to go be crucified. It said he showed himself alive after his passion means, in the sense I would say, you are made after this person's likeness. So he's saying his passion was to show himself alive. He did what he wanted to do. He showed himself alive after his passion. In other words, he fulfilled his passion of showing himself alive by many infallible proofs. He wanted to show himself raised. He couldn't wait to do it. The Bible calls it him being glorified. The Bible says a spirit was not yet given because Jesus was not yet glorified. And Jesus would be glorified. Until this point, he was looked on as a man, killed as a man, mocked as a man, had to work and had to suffer and had pain and had sorrow. He was called a man of sorrows. But the resurrection is what he looked forward to. He wanted to be resurrected. It would do many things. First of all, it'd show that he was the Son of God. But a lot of the great things about the resurrection was the people he loved were brokenhearted, and he could show them that he was no longer dead. There was many, many reasons he wanted to show himself to people, and in the story we read in John 20, he showed himself to Mary, and it was a lot of fun for him. Mary goes there to the sepulcher and looks inside the tomb, and Jesus, of course, I mean, completely dead, and I don't know how you're really dead, as compared to dead, but he was really dead. I mean, in trying to figure out the resurrection, the skeptics said stupid things like, well, maybe it was just a swoon theory. He wasn't really dead, and he just was in the grave for 3 days, and then he walked out because he was better, and he wasn't so hurt. That's the dumbest thing in the world. First of all, he's crucified. They beat you. The Bible says his bones were looking on us. His bones were sticking out, untreated. His head was so swollen. His Bible said, it predicted his face to be so marred that you couldn't tell he was a man. His face is so swollen and beaten and discolored. And to finish it off, to make sure he died, they stabbed a spear through his side and all the blood ran out. Okay? If you don't treat wounds for somebody whose ribs are hanging out, you pierce them through the side with a spear, and so there's a big hole in their side. Their head is beaten, concussion, everything else. And you don't treat those wounds and put them in the ground or in the grave for 3 days. They're not going to get better. They're going to bleed to death, first of all. Secondly, they're not going to convince anybody they're anything great. If they did come out of there, they would say, "Oh, my soul, let's get him to the doctor because he's dead and he's pale and sick and he can't stand up." He was completely dead, completely in the ground 3 days, proven he was dead, and yet he came back to life. Praise the Lord. That proved he was the Son of God. That proved that he was, and that death had no power over him. And Mary, faithful Mary, who was so brokenhearted, went to go and go to the tomb, and she sees angels, and the angels tell her, he's not here. And she turns around, and there's Jesus, but she doesn't notice him, and that happened several times. She doesn't notice it's Jesus, and she says, she thinks he's a gardener, and says, "You know what, if you guys have taken the body of my Lord, just tell me where it is, and I'll go get it." And it's Jesus talking with her. And he says her name, he says, "Mary," and she says, "It's you." Scared her, probably. I'm sure. Because she saw him die. She watched him die on the cross. And can you imagine how fun that would be? It is a lot of fun to surprise people. It's a lot of fun to do good things. A good husband likes to surprise his wife with nice things and surprise her. And I mean, by the way, Valentine's Day is not a surprise. You get like to do things for him. And you like to surprise people. I love, one of my favorite things to do in life, I like to surprise people. And it's great because I'm Mr. Deadpan Face. I can totally act things out. I used to always, before the beard, I looked like I work at every store I was at. And for whatever reason, I would just, people walk up to me and they would ask me, "Hey, where's the, you know, noodles?" And every once in a while, it was just fun. I don't know if you've ever done this before. It's kind of fun just to surprise people and just to confuse them and just to, you just act like you work there. Every once in a while, I've done that. I said, "Oh, you know what? Let me go show you." So I walk through the store with them. I walk over there. "Here's the noodles. Oh, which kind should you buy? Use in da 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 da." And you know what? What I would use is this and this. I've done that several times. It is more fun to do that with people. Act like you work at the store and answer their questions, do everything. If you know what the store is like. If you don't know, then forget it. But if you've been in there, Walmart or Fred Meyer or whatever, and you wander around and you take them to there, and they think you work there. And then the funniest thing in the world is after you take them and you show them where the lawnmower blades are, and they ask you, "Which size? What size is your lawnmower?" "Oh, 14-inch. Okay, here's a 14-inch right here." And you hand it to them and never tell them you don't work there. And then you get to the line and you meet them in line. "What are you doing here?" "I didn't tell you I worked here. You just asked me where the lawnmower things were. And I guess it just looked like I worked here." I used to have more fun in Chicago. We used to have these toll booths. And the toll booths, you had to pay 40 cents for the toll. And it was like everything, cars would be flying in the interstate, then you come to the toll booth, and there's a big long line. I guess we have that now down at the Highway 16. And you get this big long line, and you if you had change, you'd throw it in the little dish thing and it'd catch it. But if you had to pay, you had to go to the booth and pay for it. Well, the funnest thing in the world to do is go to the toll booth and pull up and take out your money and say, "I'm paying for me and the person behind me." And you pay for them. And you drive off. And then you watch the person behind you in the mirror. You drive off real slow. And you watch them. And they're going, and then the fun thing is to watch them try to catch up to you. Then you start taking off. And here they come. Vroom, and they drive beside you and they look at you going, "Do I know you? Do I know you?" And you wave at them like you know them. And I mean, they'll drive with you for 20 minutes trying to figure out who you are. And they'll talk to their wife. "Do you know me?" It's just fun to surprise people. Just fun to do stuff like that. Just to have fun. Just to surprise people and shock them. And do things. Jesus, when he appeared with the disciples, he went to the disciples on the road to Emmaus, and he just walked along with them. And he says, "What are you guys so upset about?" And they say to Jesus, "Don't you know what's been happening?" "What?" Well, there's this man named Jesus, and they go through the whole story. Now he's dead, and everything's over with. And he literally travels with them. Then he sits down and eats with them. And when he ate with them, they're like, oh, you're Jesus. He preached a scripture to them. And all of a sudden, they said, oh, did not our hearts burn within us? And Jesus disappears. And he was gone, and he just surprised them. He just loved, I'm sure, showing himself to all the people who were doubting. Can you imagine the people who, doubting Thomas and the others, can you imagine the skeptics who didn't believe at all, who didn't even believe he was the Son of God, to go and say, hey, remember I told you, you people who killed me, remember I told you I'm the Son of God? And he went and did that. It is fun to show you're right, isn't it? It's just fun when somebody thinks you're wrong. And by the way, everybody thought he was wrong when he died. I was in California at Great American, and we were at a youth conference a long time ago, and I was with a pastor, and we were on this ride. I love the big rides, the things, and this ride is called the Wave, and it was this ride. We just shot out of there like a bullet, and he went straight up, and he went and did a big loop-de-loop, and he went to the very top, and then he went backwards, the exact same thing, and you shoot out like a bullet out of this thing, just whoosh, and all day long, me and this pastor, I wasn't a pastor at the time, I was probably 18, we just had the macho thing going. And all day long, it was, man, you're afraid to go on that ride. No, I'm not going to go on that ride. And then we'd get strapped in, you know, get the little thing that clicks down on you. And, you know, he would elbow my chest, and the thing would be, like, suffocating me. And all day long, we were bothering each other and torturing each other and challenging each other. And you'd be afraid to do this, and you won't do that. All day, there was a whole day we were doing that. And then we get this ride, and he goes, you know, all day long, you've been wimpy about it. You got to hold your hands in the air on the ride. I said, nah. I said, you know what? It's just the same. There's no difference. You're not like flying out differently if your hands are in the air. And so we're messing around, joking around. And we get in this ride. And so I'm holding the little thing in front of me, the foam thing, and I'm grabbing a hold of it. And he puts his hands in the air. And off we take off, and the thing broke. I mean, it broke. It just stopped dead. I mean, we were just like, and his face went right into that foam thing. He had a bloody lip. He's grabbing. Oh. I was just like this. I said, that's a lot of fun to hold your hands up, huh? He says, that will never happen again. I said, it doesn't matter. It happened once, and that's all that matters. And you know what? It is fun to be right. It's fun to be right. And Jesus, he showed himself alive, and it was awesome. Can you imagine having the power of the resurrection? Walking out there and showing yourself and eating with the disciples, going out and showing those who are weeping that you're raised. The resurrection must have been awesome. To show that you weren't dead, to show that death had no power, to show that you were the Son of God, to show that you had all power, to show that death is no more can stop people and you can live forever. What a great thing it is to show the resurrection. What a great privilege that is. You would know that you would never die again. You'd never age. You'd never hurt. You'd never get sick again. You'd never have to go through pain or anything. You're ready for heaven. You will always, forever be perfect. Being completely alive inside with supernatural power, the resurrection must have been an amazing event. And to experience that, Jesus Christ, he showed himself alive after his passion. He got to show that he was who he said he was. And you know what? Over 500 people saw him at once, and all the disciples. And by the way, they went to the grave dying, not denying it. If they were lying about seeing him raised from the dead, they would have denied it when they were being killed for it. All they had to do is say, no, he wasn't raised from the dead. I was kidding. I'm lying. And they would have been killed. But all 11 of them went to death. They were left. All except for one. One was boiled in oil but didn't die. All of them went to death saying he was raised. I saw him raised from the dead. What a great privilege that would be to be able to experience the resurrection. But I want to say today that you can experience the resurrection. You can experience the resurrection. I want to give you two ways, just real simple ways in the Bible that you can experience the resurrection in your own life. I'm going to be turning to Philippians, farther toward the end of the Bible, Philippians chapter 3. You can experience the resurrection. You don't have to just read about it today, but we ought to read about it. We ought to be excited that our Lord Jesus was raised from the dead and death has no more power. We ought to be excited that Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the Father and that death is destroyed and death can't keep us down and death doesn't mean anything. Death will now just be a graduation for us and death has no more power. Philippians chapter 3. First of all, I want to tell you how you can experience the resurrection is have a resurrection in this life now. Have a resurrection in this life now. Philippians chapter 3 And verse 7, it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead." A couple of things it says here. He says, "I want to get the power of the resurrection," verse 10. "I want that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." Then he says, "If by any means," verse 11, "that I may attain to the resurrection of the dead." The power of the resurrection of Jesus Christ was more powerful than anything on earth. Nothing defies death except for the resurrection. Death is final. Death's powerful. Death is not able to undo except for the power of the resurrection. But the Bible says the resurrection is so powerful. It says, "If the spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwelleth in you." It says the same power that raised Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit, it says that same power can quicken, make alive your mortal bodies. You don't have to die to experience the resurrection. The resurrection power, he says, "I am want to know the power of his resurrection." He wants to know it now. It's very powerful. It can transform a life and make you something great. So the question comes, how do I get the power of the resurrection? Well, this is real deep. You ready? If you want a resurrection, you got to die. That deep? If you want a resurrection, you got to die. Now, I'm not talking about some Jim Jones cult here where you got to kill yourself. In the Bible, there's two different ways that the Bible refers to of dying. First, our physical death. Of course, we all die physically. And by the way, if you don't know Christ, you die the second death, the lake of fire. But the Bible talks about dying to you and dying to me. Paul said in this passage, "Those things that were gained to me, everything I had, I counted loss. I count all things but loss." He says, "I want to be made conformable unto his death, and I want the fellowship of his suffering." Not real fun to talk about, but Jesus and Paul and people in the Bible talk about you can go and die to yourself and to your life without physically dying. Jesus put it this way, he that keepeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. So you've got to learn, if you want the power of the resurrection, you've got to do what Paul did and count everything but dung. Be willing to lose all things for him. It is spiritual death, not the physical death. It's the will and the life death. Back in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, it says, "I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." Galatians 2:20. "And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." Please grasp this. This is a lot of the sermon right here. Paul said, "I am crucified with Christ." Paul was never crucified. He never went through crucifixion. But he did say, "I die daily. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." He was a living person writing, "I am crucified." What does that mean? The Bible says the people who crucify their flesh, your flesh is your desires, your life, your will, everything about you and what you want to do. The Bible says you mortify the deeds of the body. Mortify means to put to death. See, you're a natural person like I am. There are certain things I want to do. I want to do all kinds of things. I have wills. I have desires. And you know what? Those desires aren't always good. Because I'm a human. And humans are fallen creatures. And we don't always desire everything good. We don't desire to be kind to our enemies. We don't desire to get rid of our pride. We don't desire to put God first. We desire in our flesh, in our bodies, things that aren't godly. And everybody starts every sentence of their life with, "I want to." You shouldn't live your life with, "I want to." It should be, "He wants to." You've got to learn to kill your own will. And you can experience a resurrection. If by any means I might attain to the resurrection of dead. When I, at a certain point in my life, I said, Lord, take my life as a great song and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. When I died to myself, when I said, Lord, whatever you want, whatever you plan, Lord, is not what I want to do. You know, I don't only go to church when I want to go to church or when I feel like going to church. You know what? There's times I'm tired. There's times my favorite team's playing on football, and I don't want to go to church. They play the Super Bowl on Sunday nights. You think when the Super Bowl is on that I want to go to church? The Seahawks are never playing in it, but still, I like to watch it. But, boy, by the way, the Seahawks win the Super Bowl. Guess what? I'm going to church. I guess they were in the Super Bowl in 2005, weren't they? I blocked that out. It's back again. Now I'm depressed. But you know, you got to learn to die to yourself. You got to learn to say, I want this. People can't deny anything nowadays. You know, it's almost like you have to come out with a pill for everything. How do I lose weight? Well, you can eat less and exercise. Burn more calories than you eat. I don't want to do that. I want to eat as much as I want and do whatever I want to do. I just want to lose weight. Liposuction? How do I go to church every Sunday? Pray I can go to church every Sunday. Well, you get up and you go. Isn't that deep? Well, pray God will make it so I can make it to church. I can, and I'll pray if you have the strength, but I don't think God's going to lift you out of your bed and float you into church. I want to have a good life. I want money. I just don't want to work. I want people want without saying, I got to die to myself. You've got to learn that if you can't just live your life saying what I want to do. You can't just go to work when you want to go to work. You can't spend money just because you want to spend it if you don't have it. You've got to learn to bring yourself under control. God asks you to do things you don't want to do. God asks some people to be missionaries to faraway foreign countries and they don't want to do it. But they do it anyway because they've died to their self. You can't read the Bible when you want to read the Bible. You can't only be nice to your enemies when you want to because you'll never do it. You can't only love when people are lovable. You can't only be a parent that's a good parent when your kids are good and you want to do that. I don't want to change diapers very often. Life is about going and saying, I'm going to die to myself and what I want to do, and Lord, what do you want me to do? How else did the martyrs die for their faith? You've got to learn to die to yourself. It's, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. You can experience a power resurrection if you can die. When you can go and God say, I want you to do this, and you say, sure. God says, I want you to do that. Sure. God says, I want you to go here. Okay. I want you to talk to that person. Okay. But we say, well, I'm shy, I don't want to go here, I'm tired, I don't want to do this. And God says, I want you to die to yourself and say, I'm dead, I don't live anymore, I'm just yours, God. It's your life now. When you die like that, the Bible says, now you're dead. Awesome. I can come into you and give you the power of the resurrection because I have the resurrection power for those who are dead. But many Christians never really die themselves. They're still living for themselves. There's many verses on this in Romans chapter 6. It says in verse 5, it says, For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now that if we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died in the sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And again, another verse, John chapter 12, in verse 24, it says, Verily I say unto you, except the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 12:24. When you die to yourself, you say, oh, but I'm going to be miserable if I don't do what I want to do and watch what I want to watch and talk what I want to talk about and do what I want to do and live my life like I want to live and live where I want to live and say what I want to say. I wouldn't have any fun. No. It says, he that loses his life shall find it. Because what happens is the life of the flesh and the life of what you and I do with our lives and the life of our desires, all that we think is going to make us happy, doesn't work. You do everything you want to do in your life and try every goal you get, you'll be empty inside at the end. Only Jesus satisfies. And you give up your will and say, Lord, here is my life. And I've done this as a teenager, said, God, here is my life. And it's been his life for 20-some years now. And he can do whatever. If God sends me to Zimbabwe tomorrow, then I'm going to Zimbabwe. It's not my life anymore. God wants me to go witness to somebody and I don't want to do it, I'll go witness to him. God wants me to give everything I own away, it's all his. I'm dead. He wants my house, he can have it. He wants my car, he'd be the only one. He can have it. If he wants whatever he wants, it's not mine. It's his life. And when I died, you know what God did? Inside of me, I could just, life, the life of God came into me. And the Bible says, I'm come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. You don't really know what living is until you have God live through you. The power of life is of God is supernatural. And yes, Jesus gave his life and said, not my will, but thy will be done. And he died on the cross and got a much greater body and life back. A body that never die, a body that live forever, please God, the joy, alive after his passion, because he gave himself for God. Now, you'll never have to be killed and crucified more than likely for God. But you know what? We have a lot that we have to die to. A lot of little things that we struggle with. A little things we like saying, things we like doing, our habits that we don't like, relationships that we shouldn't have. And God says, I don't want you to have that, but I want it. God says, I don't want you to have that. Die to yourself. Because a Christian life is not just dying and not doing. What happens when you die to yourself and you say, here I am, Lord, I'm dead. I've died to my will. I die daily. I die to my plans for my life. You suddenly die, and the Bible says you get the power of the resurrection. Into you comes supernatural life. I die as a teenager to my life and to my plans and to my dreams and everything I had planned, and I got a much greater life back. I got life that has joy. I got life that has victory. All of a sudden, I could just feel, whoa, I have power inside of me. Man, that sin has no more power over me. I was resurrected. You got to die, though. You got to die. The seed must die. Have you had a time in your life where you had a death of yourself and a resurrection of God? Have you ever died to yourself? Have you ever said, Lord, here's my life, whatever you want to do. You know, you can experience the power of the resurrection today if you'll die. I don't mean physically die. Your heart will still beat, your lungs will still go, you'll still look like you look, but your whole life and everything you want to do, you give to God, and God says, here comes the resurrection. And you're resurrected with newness of life, and it's a great life serving God. My life is so much better now that it's God's than when it was mine. You can experience the power of the resurrection. And Paul said, I'm giving up everything seeking to get the power of the resurrection. And he did. And he had a great, wonderful, victorious life. By the way, amazing treasures in heaven. You know what you get back in heaven? When everything you give to God, you can never outgive God. You give God your life. You give God your time. The Bible says every little thing you do for him, you give a cup of cold water in the name of a prophet, you get a prophet's reward. You can't give anything to God where he doesn't say, great is your reward in heaven. On this earth, you get the power of the resurrection. You get a victorious life. No longer are you under the power of sin. No longer can you not control yourself. No longer are you so weak that you can't do what you wish you would have done. You get the power of the resurrection because you died. God lives through you, and he takes you where he wants you to go and does what he wants to do, and you get the life of God, and you get victory on earth and joy for eternity. Have you had a resurrection in this life now? It is so sad the lack of the fullness of self people have. The self-centeredness, the not willing to give up anything for God, that you can't get people to do anything they don't want to do nowadays. Oh, it's sad. People should give everything to God, and anything God asks them to do, they should be willing to do it. Number two, And this is the whole message. It's not going to be a long message today. If you want the power, you want to experience the resurrection first, you can experience it while you're alive today. Die to yourself and get the resurrection of God. The power of the same Spirit, the same resurrection power will come into your life. The Bible says it raised Jesus from the dead. Supernatural, it can change anybody's life. Number two, if you want to have a resurrection, it's have a resurrection into eternal life. Let me just read you some verses in 1 Corinthians. It's chapter 15. I'll be reading out of 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 51 says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruption must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible," that's our bodies, our corruptible bodies that age and get old and die and get injured, "so when this corruptible body shall I put on incorruption," I get a new body in heaven, "and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O grave, or death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" It says not everybody will die. Some of us will be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. If you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you never really die. Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Listen, this body right here someday will die. If it doesn't die, it'll be raptured. Two things happen to those who are born again. One, someday you die and instantly you're in the presence of God. You get your reward and you go to heaven forever and you get a new body. And you live forever in fullness of joy, happier than you could possibly be on this earth. If you had every dream fulfilled in this earth, you will be infinitely more happy. It's called fullness of joy in heaven. I die, you die. If you're saved, you die. You go right there to be with God. Or the second thing that happens, the thing we call the rapture. The Bible says that we shall not all sleep, and that means the word sleep is used for dying. There, we'll not all sleep, but we'll all be changed. In the moment, in the twinkling of an eye, the dead in Christ shall rise first. And it talks about we will be resurrected. We will go up to heaven instantly, in the quicker than you can blink your eye. You'll be taken up into heaven, and you'll meet God, and you'll dwell forever with God. That's all that'll happen. And either way, you're resurrected. You don't have to worry about death. That's why it says, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" Listen, death is a terrible thing, but when you know where you're going and you know your body will be resurrected, either by death or by the rapture, you're going to get a new body. You don't have to sit here and say, "Oh no, I'm going to die someday." But you're going to. We're all going to die someday. It is appointed that a man wants to die, and after this, the judgment. Well, how can you be sure you'll be resurrected? It's very simple. Everybody's sinned. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. God has an expectation for mankind. He has in heaven, it's perfect. There's no sin in heaven, not one. He says the wages of sin, just sin, not sins, not murder, not real bad sin, any sin is death. And that's why everybody's sinned and come short of the glory of God. Everybody is short of heaven. God looked down and said, "There will not one person go to heaven. There is not one righteous person. No, not one." You're looking at a person who's not righteous today. I've come short of what it takes to get to heaven. Yet God loved you and I, even though we are sinners, the Bible says. Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And Jesus came down and he died on the cross. And all of your sin and my sin was taken upon him. And he died for your sin. Every sin you've ever done, he loved you anyway, and he took the punishment for it. He died, was beaten brutally. He suffered the punishment for your sins and my sin on the cross because we can't be good enough to get to heaven. This church can't save you. Living a good life can't save you. Being religious can't save you. Nothing you can do can save you. That's why Jesus died, because we all come short. Jesus died, and then he was buried, and as we're celebrating today, he was raised from the dead. 3 days later, to prove he's the Son of God, to prove death doesn't have power anymore, and he died for your sins and rose again from the dead. If you believe he died for you and rose again from the dead, you have to do one thing to get to heaven, and that's trust him to save you. Many people say, "Well, I'll be good enough to get to heaven. I'll live a good life." You're trusting yourself, and you can't go to heaven that way. The Bible says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may know you have eternal life. You know 100% sure you're going to go to heaven because you're trusting Jesus' death on the cross and Him personally to save you. And when you do that, it's one moment in time. It's called being born again. It's not a process. It's not joining the church. It's not being religious. It's not anything else. It's not you changing your life. It's you saying, I can't save myself. Jesus, I need you to take away my sin and save me. I believe in you. Please save me. When you do that, I did that when I was just turning 16, instantly my sins were all washed away and my eternity was settled. I don't have to live a good life to get to heaven. I'm not trusting me. I don't have to go to church to get to heaven. I'm not trusting a church. I have to just let Jesus save me, and right then my sins are forgiven. If you do that, you can have a resurrection. Your body will be resurrected. And you know what? These bodies, after a while, they need complete overhauls. I'm the big 4-0 now. And man, are you getting old? I sat Indian style and played Uno with my kids the other day. Indian style is not as easy as it used to be. Those legs don't straighten out like they used to. And that back doesn't straighten out like it used to. You know what? This body gets older after a while. You know what's wonderful? I get a new body in heaven, and it's incorruptible. It'll never get old, never die, nothing bad will ever happen. Hair will never fall out, if that ever did happen to me. None of bad will ever happen. It'll be resurrection and perfection, a new body, and forever in heaven with God and fullness of joy. And all I have to do is come to Christ as my Savior. And by the way, I'm going to enjoy that for eternity, the resurrection. I'm also going to enjoy the resurrection power while I'm alive today, because I'm going to die to myself. And by the way, well, I won't be happy. How's it working, you trying to fulfill your own happiness now? Are you fulfilled? Not by your own. You can't get fulfilled from this world. You can get all the money you want and all the fame you want. And by the way, why are all the people with all the money and the fame drug addicts? Why do people who marry? Why does Tiger Woods have a supermodel wife and cheat on her all the time? As soon as I get this, I'll be happy. And they never get there because you can't. God will not allow it. He says, you will always thirst without me. You need a person. And only He can come in and change your life, and give you real life, the life that lasts forever. That's Jesus Christ. He was resurrected for you. Today you can enjoy the power of the resurrection if you'll just die to yourself. And if you'll just trust Christ as Savior, you can enjoy it forever when you die. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, thank you for your word. I pray today, Lord, that every one of us would die to ourselves and enjoy the power of the resurrected life. But it never happens till our will is yours. Till we not even eat that food till you, we know you want us to. We can deny ourselves and take up our cross and follow you. Father, I pray today that every one of us would know for sure we're going to heaven and be saved. And I pray everybody who is saved today would decide to die to their own life and their own will and just let you live through them so they can know the joy and the victory of the resurrected life.